I'm going to show you something this morning that I know will be a blessing to you because it was a blessing to me. I want you to turn over to John, please. Over to the book of John, chapter 4. Just for namesake, Brother Rick, I'm going to call this. Can you sit for a minute? Can you sit for a minute? So when you want to pull it up on the website maybe and hear the message again, you can get all of our messages on our website, landmark-christian.org, or just put in Landmark Christian Center in Porterville, and they'll all come up. You'll see most recent sermons, and then you'll see the archives, and that'll include everything that we've had over the years. Father, help me this morning, I pray. Just bring this message home the way you gave it to me, because, Lord, I know we've all been here, done that, and we need your help. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Arthur and Alice, always my pleasure. Good to see you home. I took Ainsley and Parker. I had them because Mom and Dad went out of town. And so I begged the parents. Parents aren't always willing. And I shouldn't say this in front of the principal, but I will. I begged them to please let them stay home with me on Friday. And they did. Dad's a hard nose with that, and that's good. But they let him stay. So I said, you guys, we gotta get some. Where are we going? And so we were going to Bakersfield, and then they decided they'd just like to go to Imagine You Museum for Kids in Visalia. So we went to Imagine You, and we had fun. And I'll just get to the point right there, because when we went outside, there's a little fishing pond and all kinds of things to do. And when we went out there, there was a little whale, W-E-L-L. Looked like Jacob's whale. You know, it was just a little wooden whale there. And it had a bucket and a rope. Of course, the bucket was tied onto the rope. And you turn the handle, you let it down, and you pull it back up. And I remember when I was a little girl, we used to go to Texas every year. Brother Rick makes sure, Brother Robert, our new sound man, make sure they can hear me on this mic. I'm not going to overexert today because my voice is bad enough. They don't need to hear me screaming at them. But I remember my grandparents lived up on a little hill there in Gainesville, Texas, out in the country. And you could go out there, and surely they didn't use it. I mean, maybe years and years ago, but on the old farm, they had this well. And the well, you could still put the pail down in the bottom of the well and pull up water. And they would show us, and we would be fascinated. And then I saw our kids, or their kids, my grandbabies, I saw them fascinated. And I told them my grandma had those years ago, and they both were able to pull up the bucket. Of course, there's some water in it, but just pull it up and let it down. And I saw that with Parker first, and then again I showed Ainsley. And then that just stayed on my mind all afternoon as we were having fun and going home. And I'm thinking, I think there's something more to that. I think there's something more in the spirit to that than met my eye. Maybe a little too loud, I'm ringing. And so I went to John chapter 4 to look up the best well that I know of in the Bible, one of the best wells. So let's go over to John chapter 4, and I'll show you what I saw. John chapter 4, verse 1. We'll read down there, Kathy, about 7 verses probably. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisee had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. I want you to remember that. He was going one way because of the Pharisees, but then it says, but he needed to go through Samaria. I wonder why Jesus needed to go by Samaria first. He's walking, you know. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, he sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And so I'm not going to get into the rest of the story, because this thing has been preached up and down and here and there and everywhere, and I know I could because some of you haven't heard it. But I saw something in this woman here, and being at that well, I saw that woman. She was there, and I could see me and some of you with my coffee cup in the morning, and I drank first cup, second cup, third cup. By the time you get to the office, you might want another cup of coffee, you know. Some of you drink iced tea, like certain people. You get up the iced tea. Some of you drink soda. Some of you drink Pepsi. And whatever it is, or maybe you just have water in your breakfast. And then about 12 o'clock, you notice, hey, all that caffeine did not help me one bit. I'm still tired. What's the deal? I'm still tired. It didn't even wake me up. Now, it's not like that all the time. Thank you, Jesus. But sometimes you're just still tired. And you know what? I think that must be we are tired inside. What do you think? See, I'm not talking about, well, you know, I didn't sleep good last night, and I didn't sleep good, and I was up late, and I got up early, and I ran. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that tiredness inside. We get tired inside. And I think this poor girl or woman, it doesn't even indicate how old she was, but maybe her 30s or 40s. But I'm going to tell you something. This woman was tired on the inside. She was tired, and she had probably ran out of town to get out to Jacob's Well just to get out there and have an excuse to get away from that gossipy town, because they were gossiping about this woman. She was not a good woman. She had a wild past. And she starts talking to Jesus, and as she's sitting there, he's just sitting there at that well, and it's fresh water, by the way. It's always fresh water. But see, I think when our inside gets tired, we need to get to the right well, and we need to get to the well where we can get up, pull up that fresh water into our souls and into our spirit. Because you all know what? Sometimes when we're tired inside, we get at the wrong well, and we sit down at that well, and then if you're not careful, you sit there at somebody's well or some place that you think someone might help you or this, or you needed that, and you sat at that well, and you become dehydrated. You get dehydrated sitting at the wrong well, and there's only one, and that's where he is. And I find it fascinating, always have ever since I was a little girl. My pastor probably introduced that to me for the first time, or maybe I read it in that little green Bible I had. But I said, Jesus, just sit down on that well, because he was weary on his journey. See, you and I are on this journey. We go to work. We have family. We have friends. You have so much every single day. And we also get weary on the journey. And that is absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about. If Jesus had to sit down because he said, I'm weary on this journey. But see, when it says that he needed to go through Samaria, I think he must have known, sure he did, that this woman was coming by there. And she needed him. And she was looking for help, because inside, she was tore up from the floor up. She wasn't just tired from stuff. I'm telling you, the last two or three weeks, I've just been plain old tired. And so we get tired from the journey, but getting tired inside is a whole nother story. So she came there to get away, and then she sees this man, and that's all she needed to see. Plus, he was a Jewish man. Well, she didn't want to see a Jewish man. She had already lived with five men, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. And Jesus tells her that. You all know the story. So she had a real shady past. That's why I said in that age she may have been 30. Of course, you could have been 20s, in your 20s, and had that many husbands and live-ins and whatever you want to call them. And so there she was, and she sees him sitting there, and then he asks her for a drink. Give me a drink. Could I have a drink? And she's like, oh, brother, just like all the rest. But see, here's the deal. She did not know that this man, she didn't know that he was going to be able to take care of her inside, because he knew her. He knew what was inside her. You know why? Because he put it there. He's the one that put her giftings there. He's the one that put her Holy Ghost boldness and her love and her compassion. She had just spent it wrong. And a life of sin. And so, see, it wasn't even about the drink. Listen, it's never about the drink. He said, give me a drink. She's like, oh, you know, that's, we could go there all day long about the drink. Sir, you don't even have anything to draw with. It's like, sweetheart, if you knew what I had inside of me, you'd be asking me for a drink. But she gave him the water. And it wasn't even about the drink. It's never about what you're going through. Did you know that? Never. It's just never about what you're going through when you're a child of God. We go through, my goodness, if we open this microphone this morning and let all of you say what you're going through or what you've been through, it'd be crazy in here. But we all go through different things. But it's always about something deeper, I promise you that. It's always about something, and it's always about something deeper. And so when you're going through, you may not feel like asking that right now, but it sure wouldn't hurt us to say, Lord, what is all this about? Can you just give me a little breather to let me know what this is about? I asked somebody this morning, I forgot what it was, but I knew they'd been going through. And I said, are you seeing the light in that darkness? And they said, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so good, but it's never about what you're going through. So Jesus stayed right there and waited for her. And so I believe that he wanted me just to ask you, would you just come and sit down with me a minute? Would you just come and sit with me a minute? I'm telling you, church, if you do that, it's an amazing thing. What if the woman never went to that well? What if she decided, I don't have time. Besides that, I'm too tired. Let them talk about me. Let them say what they want to say. I know who I am and I could care less. And she got all prideful. Mm-mm. She said, I got to get out of this mess. And she walked over there not knowing that she was getting ready to meet the seventh man. Seventh? Are you kidding me? I've been done at six. I've heard about the fourth man. Oral Roberts told us about the fourth man in the fire. Remember that? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and then Jesus shows up in the fire. We know about the fourth man. But I'm going to tell you, when you sat with the seventh man, that woman had six. But when she got to the seventh man, listen, she got the real deal. And think about this, church. God worked on the first day. God worked on the second day. God worked on the third day. He worked on the fourth day. He worked on the fifth day. He worked on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He just sat down and rested. Does he know how to rest us? See, Jesus sat down on the well. Said, I'm just weary. I'm going to sit down and rest. Even God himself sat down and rested on seventh day. Now she meets up with this Jewish man. He's just sitting there. But he walked off the trail. I don't know where they were going. Oh, yeah, it told us where they were going. To Sychar. And he turned off and he went through Samaria. Just went out there and sat down and waited on her. Listen, what if, just let me ask you this. What if Jesus is just waiting for you to come in the morning? What if somewhere in your afternoon, he's just waiting for you to show up and sit down with him? I know you do all the time, and that's wonderful, and that's where you get your strength. But I'm just saying, at first, for this sweet girl, it looked like just a natural well. It just looked like plain old place, because then that day the girls drew the water, the women drew the water. So at first it just looked like plain old, every day, every day, every day. But when she gets there to the seventh man in her life, it became supernatural. I mean, totally supernatural is something that you have nothing to do with. You're like, I don't even know how that thing happened. How did I get through that? And suddenly that thing that was a mess, and then you got off and you got over there and you sit down. Can you just sit down a minute, folks? Can you just sit a minute? Remember when Mary and Martha was all busy, 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 busy. But Mary just went to his feet and she sat at his feet. And she got that good thing, which was never taken away from her. Ah, too good. But this changed her life forever. Forever and ever and ever. And let me tell you something. Other people can't do that for you. Other people can't change your life. But when you sit with him a minute, he'll change your life. Because he knows what's in you. He knows how to get it out of you. He's just sitting down there. Now, he needed to go on through there, but he needed to go just for her. I mean, he just went out just for this one woman. And he knows how special you are to him. Just you all by yourself, Brother Danny. Just you. It's just though no one else is around. Tanya, good to see you at home today, honey. All the way from Tennessee. Welcome, Tanya. I'm sorry to interrupt myself. They're so good to have Tanya. But he'll go through just for you. And when she said, after a while, I'm tired. If she did say, I'm tired, he probably said, I'm tired too, honey. That's why I'm here. I'm tired. That's why I'm sitting down. But it wasn't very long. She got her next breath. And then she begins to realize, woo, I'm with somebody supernatural here. This just isn't natural. Something is happening here. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Is that where he is? The Holy Spirit's down here, but Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God on the throne. And where did it say he makes us sit? It says he makes us sit beside him, far above principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. That's where he made us sit. He said, come sit with me a minute. Because I lift you up way above it all. And this is where that sweet little girl went. She sat with that man. And he lifted her way up above the mess. Way up above the gossip. Way up above those men. Way up against the mess that she made in her life. All the stuff she had done. It's over, baby. It's over. Just sit with him, because I'm going to tell you something about this well. It's not ever going to run dry. It never has run dry. It never will. And it's only living water. This water is alive. It's living. It's not like water you pull out of a tap. It's water that comes out of heaven. It's supernatural water that comes into our inside. And then when our inside is so stinking tired, you get that fresh living water, the supernatural. And all of a sudden, you get your life back. You get your strength back. Like, ooh, wow. How'd that happen? And you may still have stuff going on. But if you can just go sit a while with him, I promise you, he lifts you up above it. Because I'm going to tell you something. And I want to encourage you to do this today. I want to encourage you not to do this today. Please don't. Please choose never to set at another poison well. When people poison you or something that seems to be poisoning your life, if it's an addiction, get over and just sit down at the well with him. Because all your addiction is something that is a substitute for the seventh man. See, you've been through one thing, two things, three things, four things, five things, six things, and you've tried all that, and it's not going to work like the seventh. And if you get over there and sit with him, he'll change our conduct, our mouth. Say, that's impossible. No, it's not. Not with him. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to sit at poison wells. I just want to sit at his feet. Listen to this. Isaiah 40 and 30. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Says, even. So don't feel bad about this. Don't feel bad about being tired on the inside at times. See, getting tired on the outside, that's just a given. We do that all the time. You get tired, tank, you go home, you rest, you get, you're all jazzed up and restored next morning, you're ready to get up and go again after your coffee. But when you get tired inside, it's a different deal. So it said, don't feel bad about it, according to Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. It says, even the youth shall faint and utterly be weary. How many young people do you know today that are fainting and they're weary and they're struggling? They don't know how to handle life and all the stuff they're hearing. Even the young will faint, shall faint and be weary. And the young men, they'll utterly fall. He means that's a big fall. They'll fall down. But those, say those. That's me. That's you. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We'll get it back on the inside. You'll get it back on the inside. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. And you'll walk and not faint. You won't fall apart every time something doesn't go your way. And when you're tired, don't get dehydrated. I'm just telling you. Sister Wanda got dehydrated not too long ago. Some of you have done that. And you know, it just causes dizziness and you're not balanced, and they'll send you to the hospital, and it can be really devastating. I mean, really life-threatening, and yet they'll say, you're just dehydrated. And sometimes a person's so dehydrated, they have to give them an IV. And so we can't get there. So I'm just saying, whenever you feel yourself really getting worn out on the inside, just go over and sit yourself down with him. You're not sitting alone. One of my friends told me one time, she says, well, I don't like to talk to Jesus out loud when I'm alone because it just makes me feel conspicuous. I'm like, oh, brother, what do you mean? She says, I just feel like I'm talking to the walls. I said, well, if that's what you want to think, then you are. But if you think you're talking to Jesus, let your imagination go. He's in there with you and you're talking to him. She's the same woman, if you don't mind me talking about her. We're not online anymore, so she won't hear me. So she would say, Paulette, I just want to be spiritual. I want to be. And she's not very spiritual, but she went to church all the time. She says, I just want to be. And I said, you can be. You either are or you're not. Are you spiritual? No. You want to be? Yes. Then be. Then you go to Jesus and you live with him. And read your Bible down then. That would help. Just read. Just pray. So he knows we're tired and he has a drink for every one of us. I remember certain times I got a drink. Laney and Doyle's daughter died, as I've told you maybe before. And I have never made funeral arrangements. My family did it for me and My brothers were older, and they did it for my dad and mother. But Lainey asked me if I could go make the arrangements for Ashley at the cemetery. So I was getting ready to go down there and go in that little house and get a plot for her and find out what they had opened. And I went down, and I just fell apart on that little road going in, and I just lost it. And I remember pulling in on the side of the road, and I didn't know what to do. I was alone, and I just think, oh, my goodness. So I pulled over, and I said, Lord Jesus, I just sat down with him there because I know he's always with us. You know, he's just there. And so I said, I just need a drink. You know, people, when they're totally needing something, you'll see them go get their wine or get a drink or some kind of a liquor to calm them all down. They say it helps me sleep. But I knew I needed a drink, and I don't do that, so I needed a drink. And I said, Lord, will you give me a drink? And I just pulled over, and I just waited. And I'm going to tell you, I got the drink. I didn't see it. I don't know how it came. All I know is I got the drink. That natural moment of crying and tears, it turned into supernatural. I got the drink, and I went on in and made the arrangements without a tear in my eye. That's how he is, church. You go through all that, but see, the drink is paid for. He paid for it at the cross. Why? Because he said, I thirst. I thirst. Jesus went through everything so that he could take care of us. So because he was thirsty, he said, I don't want you thirsty. I want to be able to take care of you on the inside and the outside, and your marriage and your home and your babies and your life and your grown-up kids. I want to help you. So the drink was all paid for. Church, you got to drink this living water. You just got to drink it. You've got to drink this worship. We have to drink the worship. Drink this word in I'm giving you this morning. Just drink this. Just drink this word I'm giving you. The word was simple. It's just, can you sit with me? Can you just sit down a minute? That's easy. Just sit down a minute. Jesus didn't just prove his power by walking on the water and raising Lazarus and raising the dead. There's a lot of dead things in our life. There's a lot of Lazarus that need to be raised from the dead in our life. Well, get over to him. But he not only showed his power in walking on the water and those things, but he also showed his power by sitting right here at this well and saving that young woman and doing great things for her. Now I'm going to take you down. Kathy, go with me down to verse 35, and I'll quit right here. Look at verse 35, same chapter, chapter 4. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? And he says to his disciples, this is written in red. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look out there at the fields. Look at the fields, for they are already white and ready to harvest. Do you know what he was talking about? That was literal. That was literal. Because that woman, you know what she did? She got so jazzed, so excited, she put her water pot down where he was and took off running. And she ran back to her people, her family, her town, because it was so supernatural. See, when supernatural happens, you can't help but tell it, and people will know it. So she put the pot down. She ran back. She got there, and all of a sudden, Jesus looks out, and his disciples had been away in town trying to get some food. And when they came back, Jesus said, hey, you were telling me earlier, you guys said, wait 4 months and then the harvest will come. He said, I'm telling you, look out there. Here comes the harvest. It's white and ready to harvest. Here came her whole town with her. They all were coming in to be saved. I'm going to tell you, revival is upon us, church. They will be following you to the house of the Lord. When you sit with him, they will follow you because you're going to get a whole bunch of supernatural things just being there. I'll just share this with you. And I'll quit. When you get tired of things not changing, just go there. So, yesterday, I was going to take communion out to the Williams home. And so, I said, well, we had a 1 o'clock appointment. I wrote and said, are you ready for me? I'll come now. They said, well, some things came up. Can you wait? We'll be home in about 30 minutes. So I said, well, you know, I'm just going to stay here at the church. I'll just stay here and pray a little longer. And so I went on into the prayer room. By the way, if you guys want a secret place to pray, that door is always open when Rick and I are here. And you need to just come in and get in that war room. I'm telling you, it is so awesome. It's like the well. I'm just telling you. So I went in there. I said, I'm just going to stay here and pray. So I went in there and said hello with Jesus at the well. And I hadn't even gotten this message yet. And so I sat in there and did pray about the message. And as I was praying, there's a straight shot through those sheer curtains, those little sheer curtains on a wall. And I looked, just as I'm seeing it right now, it's so amazing when I'm ministering. Sometimes I just look over there and see it, that little old prayer chapel. We called it a chapel, but it's just a little old shotgun house. Hot in the summer, cold in the winter, it's just awful. But we put carpet in it, some altars and some lighting. And the Lord says to me, I just sat there with him. I wasn't saying much. Because I said, Lord, I think I'm tired on the inside. I think I'm beyond tired on the outside. I think I'm just tired. You know, when you go through this many funeral services and things, and you just, it's tiring on the outside, but the Lord refreshes us. But on the inside, I knew I was tired, and I sat with him. And I looked out there, and I was in there probably 45 minutes before this happened, not listening. But all of a sudden, Portia, I think it was a supernatural moment that came. And so I was looking over there, and he says, do you remember those hours that you spent in there with me all by yourself? And it was about a year, and I don't say this to brag, but y'all know, a year before Rick and Jamie passed, I spent 6 hours a day with the Lord up on the ranch. They would go to school, he'd go to work, and I'd put on my jeans, that old cowboy handkerchief in my pocket, and walk out in those hills and just walk under an old oak tree, and just sit there and be with him. I don't remember what I prayed about, but I remember building little altars, and I'd build this little altar. I do remember this. I wanted to know him better. I really wanted to know him like the disciples did. I wanted to know if he was really that comforter that Jesus said when the Holy Ghost came, he would be a comforter to us. So I wanted to know him as my comforter because I went to church with a whole lot of people that had the Holy Ghost, as they said, speaking in tongues, but they were not comforted. The least little thing would just blow them out of the water. And they had just, you know, they couldn't even be around it. So I spent about 6 hours a day there with him. The accident came, and believe me, I met him as my comforter. So we moved to town. I put Sarah in school. She only went there for 1 year, and then we went on the road. And I spent another 6 hours a day. Now, you can't do that. You guys, we work, so don't think, oh, I'm going to go do that. No, you don't have time to do that. I was called to do that. I was called to it, and I had a 10-year full-time ministry coming up out on the road, and then I had the church coming. So I didn't even know that. I was like the woman at the well, and I had no idea anything that was going to happen. So I think we're already on the road, so now I got this little place over there, and it belonged to Alice and Donald Cobbs, and I went in there and prayed, and the Lord reminded me. He said, do you remember when you were in there praying alone? Oh, yes, I do, Lord. I'll never forget it. Going with a bottle of water. No luncheons. I didn't want to go with anybody. Just wanted to be there. I knew I needed him. And he said, you remember what you're praying for? I said, I really didn't know, Lord. I know that, you know, we were on the road, so I prayed for safety. And then later on, as time went by, he started praying for the church. I knew I was going to have a church, and I started praying for land because the land. What comes first, Lord, the land or the church? There's no people, Lord. What do I get? There's no people. You get the building. What do you do? And then when we got the building down the way, then I start praying for land. Lord, we need land and the money. So we were saving up all this money in the church. And then all of a sudden, look at this. We're right straight across the street. He said, you had no idea how it was going to work out and what was going to come. And look, you're right here in this place. And he said, now what are you praying for? I said, Lord, I'm just in here. Because me and all of these people that are with me, I know them and I know their hearts. We all want to know that is Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 still coming? But Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, is that still coming? Are we still going to see revival? I want to know. You want to know. And Lord, sometimes we get weary inside. And he says, remember what you prayed over there? You didn't know what you were praying for? He said, you don't know what's getting ready to come either here. You don't know what you're praying about, but just keep going. Look, arise, shine. This is what we founded this house on. It's still in my, I probably pray this every week. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover what? And deep darkness what? Is that happening right now? Read that again. Is that happening right now? Behold, what darkness? Say, read it with me. Darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen over you. I said, Lord, that's still real. He brought it to me. He said, that's it. I said, but what's that glory going to be like? What's it going to be like? He said, you don't need to know. You just trust me with what I've given you already. You just be thankful for your ushers, for your praise team. You be thankful for the prayer team. You be thankful for the teachers. You be thankful for your youth pastor. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the beautiful chairs. Be thankful for the empty chairs. Be thankful for the people that fill them. And you let me take care of the rest, because you don't have to know. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me. So all we have to know is that we pray it through. We get to the man, honey. I mean, you go to him. That's what we need. So I'm just going to ask you, this is where the river flows. I'm going to ask you to come on down here with me for a minute. You can kneel at the altars. Come on down here with me, and I want you to bring your bucket, and I want you to come to Jesus' well. It's not Jacob's well, it's Jesus' well. Come on. Everybody, visitors, you're welcome to come. And we're going to have some good music. And you know what? You don't even have to say nothing. If you want to sit on the front row, you can sit there too. But I'm just saying, can you sit with him a minute? Sit on the steps if you want. You want to sit down? Sit on the steps. You want to sit on the altar? Just sit up here or kneel there. Come on. You can sit on the front row if you want. You can sit down there. Just, can you sit with them a minute? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're just going to sit with you, Jesus, a minute. It's all right. The restaurants will still be open. Save me a place. Come on. Just get you a place and sit with them a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Arise, shine, church. His glory will be seen upon you. When? When darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. That's when he said his glory would be seen on us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Just make sure, since he asked us the question, he said, can you sit? Can you just sit with me for a minute? Well, make sure you do that. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you this week and every day. May his glory be seen upon you. May his face rise with peace, glory, keep you from all harm and all danger. I plead the bloodline around you and a wall of fire around your home and your family, our schools, the box stores, all the lines of Porterville. May they be shielded by your glory. And may your beautiful countenance shine upon us as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Love you so much. Thank you for being here today. Amen, amen, amen.